Welcome to the program. Mobility is presenting a number of interesting challenges for federal agencies as they engage their end users and engage citizens in mobile platforms. My guest today to talk about those challenges, Jason Kimry, the Area Director of U.S. Federal for Intel, Captain Michael Dickey, Commanding Officer of U.S. Coast Guard's TISCOM, Danette Campbell, Senior Advisor for Telework at the Patent and Trademark Office, so Sean Seiler is Director of Device Sales for the Department of Defense Bureau for Microsoft Federal, and Joe Klimovich is the Chief Information Officer at the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Folks, thank you all for coming today. I want to start with you, Danette, because the mobile revolution is unique in federal history because it's being driven by the end users. Mm-hmm. It's a bottom-up revolution, not a top-down mm-hmm. change. Mm-hmm. Talk about how your end users came to you at PTO and said, we'd like to use these tools that we have and we'd like you to do something about it.
Thank you, Francis. Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really pleased to be here representing the Patent and Trademark Office, which was actually just recognized as the best place to work in the federal government from the Partnership for Public Service. This was out of 300 agency subcomponents. So again, thank you so much for having me. You know, our OCIO is a service organization whose mission is to deliver information and technology that enables innovation. So to that end, if we determine in partnership with a specific business unit that a specific type of technology will help enhance productivity or facilitate ready communication and a mobile solution would fit that requirement, then we pursue that particular solution. Again, I think the operative phrase here is that these are not one-size-fits-all solutions in any business unit.
Mm-hmm. Joe, same concept at your agency. You have a number of end users who do very unique things and very interesting things. What was that process like where you determined this is what these people want to do and it fits with the mission of the agency? We want to enable them to be able to do what they want.
Sure. Well, thanks, Francis, for having me as well. I appreciate it. Let me start off by talking a little bit about my definition of mobility. I think it's more than just a particular smartphone or telework. It's really mobility is about edge devices serving as portals to big data, to advanced analytics, mostly in the cloud nowadays. So there's a wide range of things that need to be considered, legal, workforce, policy, security, so how you're going to support the service, infrastructure, et cetera. And we're very fortunate in NOAA that we've got a very tech-savvy workforce. A lot of folks, in addition to being a scientist in a certain area, have computer science degrees. And they really embrace and are very appreciative of new technologies. But not everybody in NOAA has a mobile device, a smartphone. The individual organizations determine who has these devices. The individual devices themselves are relatively inexpensive, but the support services, making sure that all the devices are secure, your information secure, and it can be supported, those does add up. What we look at in areas that we look at are the business and user needs. I mean, is there a need? And then data storage, application architecture, identity and security, management and governance, and then the network infrastructure. And you really need to start with the big picture. What services are you trying to provide, and how are you providing those? And again, you need to start with the user needs, but all the support services need to be factored in.
Captain, the same issue with you. I mean, you have, again, a unique user end-user set. You're doing a variety of things, both on the civilian side and the uniform side. Talk about your assessment of what it is that's appropriate for mobility and what you want to be able to empower your end-users to do when you began this process toward moving toward mobility.
That's actually a really difficult question to answer. Because our mobility solution started, sometime around 10 years ago, and so we've had quite a homogeneous network, consistent centrally provided mobile capability, starting with email over a decade ago, and it's what we have now almost happened rather than was developed through a centralized requirements development and planning process. Mm-hmm. And what we're struggling with right now is developing some rigor with our requirements development, figuring out what end users actually need, vice what they want, and what we as an organization can afford to actually fund. In a situation where any new capability is going to compete for funds against all sorts of other requirements. Mm.
Captain Dickey and the others have made some great points. Our agency folks want to bring in our industry experts now. I think Joe Klimovich got right to the key point of this, Sean, which is he's thinking about mobility for the sake of productivity. Mm-hmm. And what it can do for the mission rather than we want to be able to use fill-in-the-blank device.
Right.
And that gets lost sometimes in this process as agencies move toward mobility, doesn't it?
I totally agree. I think that what Captain Dickey explained is really what a lot of the federal agencies are facing, which is they woke up one morning and realized they had an awful lot of mobility devices in their network, and now might be a good time to start thinking about that.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that one of the reasons that PTO has done such an excellent job of getting in front of this is that they really thought about it ahead of time, trying to figure out how that was going to help them, what business requirements they were trying to solve, and then put the technical know-how in place to make it all work. So it's interesting, as you pointed out, it's a bottom-up driven process, but at the same time, it absolutely requires some top-down thinking and encouragement to make sure that what happens in a manageable, secure way that meets the needs of the business.
And that's a collaborative effort that we haven't seen in government before, Jason, where the leadership is leading, obviously, that's their job, but they are taking cues not from other members of the leadership suite, but from all across the agency. Obviously, other leaders want a piece of understanding where the agency is going to go, but the end users already have a tremendous interest and knowledge of what the possibilities are. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I don't think anyone could have predicted the rate in which these devices were going to enter the enterprise and force us all as industry and public sector leaders to try to evolve our business to really adapt. So I think, you know, we've seen this inflection of devices, we've seen the potential that it can bring, and I think now we're at a point where we need to really start planning for the future because, as Joe mentioned, you know, mobility isn't just about smartphones anymore. And if you're coming out of CES even last week, it's all going wearables and other types of devices. So the point of data capture is only going to increase significantly in the years to come. But I think now we've seen the potential of what mobility can bring. We really need to start planning for that moving forward.
Well, another point that Captain Dickey made, Sean, was that we think about mobility. I think about it maybe mostly in the context of smartphones and tablets, to some extent laptops. Mm-hmm. But in reality, the federal government's been mobile since the first person got a BlackBerry, it seems like 100 years ago.
Or perhaps even a laptop.
Yeah.
Now, I totally agree. I think we're focusing a little bit too much on what the end device is, mm-hmm. rather than the processes that are in place to help manage that data, regardless of which type of device it is moving forward.
Captain Dickey, is that what one of the key elements is as you're trying to wrestle with this? Is that how you're thinking about it at the Coast Guard? What do we want to do? And then think about the tools that are able to facilitate that?
Absolutely. The devices do matter because ultimately we have to support them, but the devices are not the end goal. The end goal, as Joe mentioned, is to put data into the hands of users who require access. And so it's figuring out which enterprise applications users need access to, what enterprise data users need access to, and providing access in a secure manner. And the devices are kind of peripheral to that, but because of security concerns and supportability concerns, ultimately are part of the equation.
Danette, give me a little more insight as to how you walk those steps that Captain Dickey's talking about walking right now, thinking about what we want our people to be able to do first, mm-hmm. and then bringing the hardware and infrastructure along behind that.
Well, you know, one of the things that I want to put out front is that we are primarily a production-driven environment. Our primary business units are patents and trademarks, patents being the largest, primarily comprised of patent examiners who need very large monitors to do their work. The same holds true with the trademark examining attorney. What we do when we deploy these people to work from home, whether it's one day a week or full time at 5 days a week, we duplicate the same tools that they had when they were in our brick and mortar environment and the Alexandria campus. You know, we want them to have the tools that are going to ensure their success when they're working in a distributed workforce. With that being said, we do not, although some of our teleworkers do have certainly BlackBerries and iPads, those are not the primary tools that we use to ensure success in a telework environment. So I think, again, as I said earlier, it's not a one-size-fits-all, and our business unit, our business needs, our business drivers will determine what tools that we deploy. Right now, our iPads, our BlackBerries are primarily for those people in positions that need to communicate outside of normal business hours.
Joe, you have an advantage that Captain Dickey has to some degree in that you have a series of other agencies inside the structure of your main agency that you can share information with. Tell me about that process, where some of your colleagues were at some of the other bureaus and how they were in the process of moving forward as you got into the process of moving forward.
Well, we within NOAA, you've got, I think, five or six different line organizations, business units, like the National Weather Service, National Ocean Service, National Marine Fisheries Service. So we've got many different businesses within NOAA. We also have well over 200 facilities across the country and around the globe where we've got people, and I've got IT in over 430 facilities around the world. And so it's very distributed in terms of our people and our IT. And so when I look at mobility, I look at, yes, people are working in an office, and that varies quite a bit in terms of capabilities and situations. But they're also working at home. And we've got a lot of people who work in the field, who are out there as scientists collecting information, and they're carrying with them mobile devices. And yes, once upon a time, it was a laptop. And then it moved to tablets and smartphones and so on. But I think, you know, the challenge I have is how to put the right services, the right applications with the right information in their hands and allow them to do their job. And more it's not only the apps, but everything's got to be through the web. And we've got to give them and make all of our capabilities, all of our services available through the web. Now, one of the advantages we have in NOAA is that all of our information and services are unclassified. So that's a huge advantage that we have that other parts of the federal government don't have. Mm-hmm. But again, it's not everything is there, but as we start looking through what applications do we need to make available to our mobile workforce, that's what we're doing. And then taking into consideration all the sustainability issues so that we don't end up with a data breach or some other compromise.
Captain Dickey, you're dealing with classified information. How does that change the dynamic as far as how you set up a business case to be able to move to a mobile environment or a more conducive mobile environment?
So far, all of our mobility work has been in our official use realm, unclassified. Mm-hmm. We are going to follow DOD's lead on classified mobility solutions. So we're staying up to speed with what DOD is doing, and we'll ride on with whatever capability they end up delivering. Mm-hmm. So we're not going to try and do our own.
Sean, what do you see DOD moving toward in your role working with them mm-hmm. in that environment?
So I think the biggest challenge that DOD has faced so far with mobility is the management and security of either, number one, the data, or number two, the endpoints. And that's one of the areas where we feel like we can offer something head and shoulders above the competition, being able to allow them to access the data on an endpoint that is managed and secured in the exact same way that the PCs that are sitting on the desktops are managed and secured. That makes a big difference, and it's been driving a lot of the deployments within DOD on the classified side.
You're watching our discussion on government mobility, creating a lean, modern, and accessible government, sponsored by Microsoft on Federal News Radio. Our conversation continues in just a moment.